You're listening to The Point. We're talking with Dr. Kumar Siddhartha about a plant-based diet and the health benefits. This is really fascinating to me. Some diseases, we know, have genetic links, but you've said that even if you have a gene that predisposes you to a disease, changes in lifestyle can turn on and off the gene. So explain how that works.
Yeah, that's one of the most fascinating evidence that's emerging about the potential and the power of lifestyle changes. And that field is termed epigenetics. The epigenetics field looks at how a person's dietary changes, for example, food and nutrition lifestyle, can turn off or turn on their genetic tendencies. So a person might have been born with a family where their father had a breast prostate cancer, or a mom had a breast cancer, and they may have transferred that genetic tendency to their children, and it is very easy for that daughter or son to start feeling that they are kind of stuck in that risk, and that their destiny is kind of preset, and what to do about it and worry about it. And now we know that there is a lot they can do by changing their lifestyle, where they can change their health destiny toward a positive direction by changing their lifestyle, primarily nutrition, in addition to exercise and stress reduction.
And
so now we know that the genes can be switched off or switched on.
That's amazing. Let's talk to Courtney, who's giving us a call from West Falmouth. Good morning, Courtney.
Hi, how are you today?
Good.
I would like Dr. Siddhartha, when it's appropriate, to mention two books. Forks Over Knives is in a video format, and for somebody who's considering going plant-based, I think that's an excellent thing to do first. It gives you a real quick idea of what the plant-based diet might do for you. And then there's also the book Forks Over Knives by Drs. Esselstyn and Campbell. And then if they're really interested in getting deeper into the subject, there's a great book called The China Study. And perhaps Dr. Siddhartha could talk just briefly about those books. I went plant-based about 7 months ago, and I've had some really good results.
Yeah, Ogie, let me ask you about that, Courtney. Since you did that, what, tell me the difference. I mean, did you feel better right away? And what did you notice?
Well, I was diagnosed with coronary heart disease back last May, and quite frankly, the doctors were talking about medications. Which, of course, have side effects. Sometimes they're pretty negative side effects. So taking medication is a catch-22. Mm-hmm. And then they were also talking about things like stents and bypasses and stuff like that, and that's pretty invasive and scary.
Sure.
And so I decided to go plant-based, and in roughly 90 days, my total cholesterol went from about 216 down to 90.
Wow.
The triglycerides and the LDL took similar reductions. And, of course, now it's up to me, this is the really big part of it. It's now up to me to, stick to the diet and become more firmly entrenched in the diet and find foods that genuinely taste good, things like that.
Courtney, thanks for calling and sharing that. And, stay tuned, because we're going to talk a little bit about willpower in the hour. So maybe that will be some helpful information for you. But thanks for calling. That's amazing.
Thank you, Courtney. Yeah. And so, these are some of the resources that you mentioned is something to look into when somebody is trying to embark on this kind of change in the diet. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. But now, is this the kind of results? I mean, he said 90 days. I mean, you heard what he said. His cholesterol went from and down to 90. Is that unusual?
It is the norm when mm-hmm. somebody goes on a plant-based diet. Okay. So I see that all the time. As long as the patient is able to stick to a whole plant-based mm-hmm. diet, the LDL numbers generally drop anywhere from 50 to 100 points.
That's amazing.
And depending upon where they are to start mm-hmm. with, you
right.
know, and it is, you know, and I just want to, this is, I think, a teaching moment to make sure that all of us understand that looking at one piece of our health, like the cholesterol number, for mm-hmm. example, specifically one number like LDL, it is good. It's an indication, but it should not forget that that isn't just an indication. It's just a reference point mm-hmm. to understand what's going on overall in the health.
Right, right.
And that's why, because the reason why it's important is that when we address only one issue of the health using one tool that works on that particular issue alone, that becomes less efficient mm-hmm. As opposed to using something like a lifestyle change, a wholesome mm-hmm. plant-based diet that addresses not only that particular issue, but also addresses all the issues connected to it,
right.
Including reduction of cancer risk, for example.
Mm-hmm. 866-999-4626 is our toll-free number if you'd like to join the conversation. 866-999-4626. Our email address is thepoint@capeandislands.org. So, of course, another piece of this whole health approach is exercise, and we all know the importance of exercise, but finding the time, that's kind of the thing we always say, we just don't have time. So that's the challenge a lot of people have. So what's your advice for people who find it hard to start exercise?
So one of the things that we know recently and that has come as a boon for folks who don't have time is the fact that we don't have to do your cardiovascular activity, walking or your gym at a stretch of 30 minutes or 45 minutes. One could split that up into 10-minute sessions whenever you have time in the middle of the day. And as long as that is a brisk activity, let's say it's a brisk walk that makes you sweat for 10 minutes, mm-hmm. And then you can do the same thing later part of the day. And collectively, at the end of the day, if somebody has done 30 minutes of that the benefits of that is the same as the benefits of just doing 30 minutes straight on the cardiovascular.
So it doesn't matter. As long as you get that 30 minutes, it doesn't matter how you break it up.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's amazing. All right. So that's generally, I guess, how people say walking. But, you know, I'm a middle-aged woman, so weight-bearing exercise is important for me. So maybe talk a little bit about while you're choosing what kind of exercise you want to do. Walking's good, but sometimes you need a little bit more than that.
Correct. So when you're looking at cardiovascular health and improving the lungs capacity you would focus on cardiovascular exercises, walking, bicycle, running, and swimming. And if you're when we consider the importance of improving this bone health as well, and preventing osteoporosis, you do want to definitely include some type of strength training as well. Not only that, strength training has also been shown to decrease the risk of diabetes and inflammation, and it also has been shown to improve diabetes in a person who has that. So in strength training, you know, any type of activity that somebody can do even at home that puts load on the muscles and loads on the bone up and involving the major muscle groups of the body. So, you know, that if they can cover that, that'll be good. One of the simplest things that I recommend for bone strengthening or maintaining the bone strength, if somebody can safely do it at home, is jump rope.
Mm-hmm.
Because the jump rope has an effect called ground reaction force, which puts load on the bone that is necessary to maintain the bone strength. So if somebody is able to do it safely, And that is one of the best prescriptions for bone health. I recommend 30 to 100 jumps and 3 times a week as a simple tool. You know, you don't have to spend much time. You don't have to spend much money doing it. And so anybody who's out there who has women, girls, jump rope, if it is safe for you to do.
You know, I'm so glad you said that because that's how I warm up before I jump rope. I do a minute on, I rest a minute, do a minute. And somebody told me for every 100 jumps, you burn 25 calories. So that's another benefit. But when you think about it, when you start doing that, it's interesting because, you know, I'll tell you, a minute's jumping rope, you know, you get a little winded. And you think back when we were kids, it seemed like we could jump rope all day long and it never, you know, never seemed to faze us. But yeah, that's, I'm glad to hear that. And jump ropes are not very expensive.
Exactly, yeah.
All right. And also the effect exercising has on stress. We should probably talk a little about that. It's a stress reliever.
Absolutely. So as some of you may know, that exercise does release the endorphins that gives you a sense of well-being. And it is a very good stress reliever in terms of what's, you know, today's fast-paced world.
Right. Yeah. I know a lot of people know this, but stress management, of course, is an important part of the healthy lifestyle. So talk a little bit about the effects of stress on our bodies.
So stress affects our physiology. There are two types of nervous system in our body. One normally we know as that involves brain, spinal cord. The other system is the automatic system, things that we do as reflex. You know, when you see a friend, you know, your pupils might dilate, and when you're a little worried or when you're afraid, your heart rate go up. And that's an automatic nervous system. So that's another system. So stress affects primarily this automatic nervous system. And it also, in turn, can affect our stress hormones, hormonal system, like cortisol, the body's own steroid hormones, for example. Mm-hmm. So the nervous system and this type of stress hormone system is affected during long-term stress, and that in turn can have effects on the body, including the biological stress that I talked about earlier that can collect in the cell, oxidative stress it's called, or oxidant stress, that can increase, and it can also age the cell.
Yeah. I said, just look at almost any president who's come in when they're first elected, and then that 4 years later, you can see it. I mean, they look like they've aged.
Correct.
That's a stressful job. Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
So stress does age the cell, and when the cell ages, the larger picture in the person also.
Yeah. And it's interesting. Yeah,
that.
It's interesting how you may not even realize what the stress is doing to your body. I have an uncle who went for a stress test when he was middle aged, and they were like, you've got to deal with this stress. You're off the charts. And he joined a gym and he came back 6 months later. They couldn't believe it was the same guy.
Correct.
So it really, it's amazing the impact it has on you that you may not even realize.
Absolutely.
We're talking with Dr. Kumar Siddhartha about a plant-based diet and a healthy lifestyle. 866-999-4626 is our toll-free number. That's 866-999-4626. Our email address is thepoint@capeandislands.org. So many people exercise so that they can eat more foods that aren't the healthiest. So even though you're exercising, it doesn't mean you can ignore the other parts of the healthy lifestyle. As you're saying, it's sort of this whole picture. So you can't just say, oh, I'm going to exercise so I can have that hot fudge sundae or I can have that cheeseburger, right?
Correct. Yeah, it really is reversing the benefits there when somebody makes those unhealthy choices in the food. And one of the things I want to emphasize here is that exercise is a great addition to nutrition and life, dietary changes, and it does not replace a healthy diet.
So you have to kind of think of, again, the whole picture. So how do you help your patients recognize and handle stress?
There are many ways to go about it, and I think experts in the field of psychology, behavioral psychology, may have particular tools to use. What I use on my patients is I use a simple five steps to look at. And the first one that I try to help them to see is to ask for help.
Mm-hmm.
You know, culturally, you know, we grew up in a culture, even at in households or at a work setting, asking for help is considered to be weak and incompetent and so forth. But for our body, if that's what our body needs, that's what we need to do. So asking for help is number one. And the second one I usually encourage to look into is to see if folks can let go certain things. So that is in a slang, it's like picking your battles.
Mm-hmm.
So letting go is another one. So these two are really very effective, but in many instances, they are also not easy to achieve as well.
Mm-hmm.
So those two are key. And the third I recommend is to organize your day so that your day is not just putting out fires.
Mm-hmm.
And so the more organized it is, it's the more you can anticipate and handle things better. So organizing your day is key. And you know, having a quiet time, at least like 5 to 10 minutes in the day, without any gadgets, without any phones and pagers and television in today's world, I think it's key to have at least like 5 to 10 minutes of just quiet time, just yourself, for self-reflection and just to be in peace. And the last one is what we normally think of as stress reduction. You know, when you think that come to mind, like exercise, for example, or yoga, or meditation, or walking the beach, or just watching a comedy movie.
Something that gives you enjoyment.
Exactly. Yeah. And that can be, if you make that as a regular practice, that's another thing to include. So these are some things to look at. And this is not an all-inclusive list, but this is what I use.
What you start with. Yeah. Well, it's interesting, too, because you mentioned meditation and yoga, and it's amazing. I mean, really amazing the impact that can have on you as well. And I found it, you know, beginning we were talking about a lot of this, you don't get a lot of this in medical school, you know, nutrition and exercise and relaxing. And I have found, though, recently, in recent years, the primary care physician I have now, the first time I went to him for a checkup, and he asked me the question, so what are we doing for stress? And he actually gave me a couple of yoga position handout papers.
That's
and
great.
I was like, wow, this is amazing.
That is great. It's good news, yeah.
Greg is calling from Nantucket. Good morning, Greg.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Greg.
I'm fascinated by the topic. It's an important topic for sure. I'd like to ask Dr. Siddhartha a little bit about how his practice and this preventive medicine practice philosophy interfaces with our current medical system, because I know that most docs are going to diagnose you with heart disease and quickly write you a prescription for Lipitor because it's the easiest way to get out of the exam room and get on to the next person. And you know, they're going to give lip service to make sure you eat right and exercise. But for most physicians, there's just not the time to do the kind of counseling necessary to get someone to practice these kind of major lifestyle changes. I mean, it's one thing to say, hey, consider a plant-based diet, but it's another thing to really spend the time to get a patient to understand the benefits and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering how this works with our current medical system and if he finds that insurance providers are open to dealing with these kinds of counseling visits and things to that effect.
All right, Greg, thanks for the question.
Yeah, it's a good question, Greg. So, yes, I think today in today's world of medical practice, nutrition can be used as a tool. It can be integrated into the existing treatment that is being used. And, you know, the way to address this, you know, we have to look at it as a long-term process. So, you know, it's something that cannot be addressed in one visit. So it does involve more than one or two visits here. And also, one of the ways we deal with in our practice is to use a team approach. I think that way you are able to have the education done by not just by the physician, but also by the nurse. And so looking at adapting a practice environment to be more on of a team approach is one of the ways you can handle nutrition counseling in today's practice.
866-999-4626 is our toll-free number. Our email address is thepoint@capeendislands.org. More after a quick break.